Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's the Sports Show on CRN Digital Talk Radio. I'm Michael Horn, the star of our show, the all-pro defensive end, the sultan of safeties, the one and only Mr. Fred Dreyer.
Thanks very much. You know, it's great to have a new home, but what comes with it is a lot of lost stuff.
What happened? Did you lose something?
And well, I lost a lot of incoming and outgoing mail.
Yes.
Mostly incoming. And looking around through the box, the lost and found box here up at the front.
Yep.
I found
it. Wait. This is our new studio.
Yeah.
We never had that in the old one. We have a lost and found box?
Yeah, we have a lost and found
box.
That's
good. That's good to know.
And every once in a while, someone will place a kitten inside the box to hopefully someone will take it home. Anyway,
you've taken home three already, but that's nice. Anyway, what did you find besides the kittens?
My cat. You know, I got a note from a friend of mine who was the go-between that set up me giving my cats away several years ago, and we got a cat update.
All right, so what happened?
So
I don't know if I'm following you exactly in the loss. What did you find?
Oh, yeah, so here's the deal. Forget the cats for a minute.
This is a true story. This is pretty amazing.
Ali Sherman, head coach of the New York Giants many years ago, and in 1969 was the coach that drafted me out of San Diego State.
Yes.
Okay. He was fired after the six preseason games in 69, and he was out of football, and he went into private business where he became a very successful businessman.
Right.
Well, he passed away a year or so ago, and through the New York Giants a publicity department, every ex-Giant was notified of his passing. So I received this email that says, if you want to respond, if you want to send the family a note, or if you want to connect the family. Of course, I'd never really met the family.
Right.
But so I said, that's a good idea. So I wrote a letter to Mrs. Ali Sherman at the address given on the email.
And so they had asked for responses
and
your thoughts
and
about
so
it.
So I just responded. It was a stream of consciousness thing.
Right.
He was really on my mind. I said, you know, I got to do this. I won't like myself if I don't do it. You know how you get to those.
Right.
You get there. And so I wrote this longhand. I just kept writing it. And I wrote, you know, several pages. So I mailed it and I just forgot about it. And I figured, well, the family will get it and so forth and so on. Well, for some reason, about 12 days after Ali passed away, Mrs. Sherman passed away.
Whoa.
So the family lost.
So the kids lost their
parents.
Mom and their father
and their
mother.
They lost both parents. So,
wow. So
within all of the upheaval that you can imagine that would create, my letter fell through the cracks.
Yes.
Until this last March, when I received a letter from the family, from specifically Robin Sherman, which is one of Ali's children.
Right.
And she explained to us, please forgive us. We didn't get back to you. what she said was, is that the letter got lost and stuff, and we just now found it. And so they mailed it. In March, the envelope on the back is stamped March of 2016. Well, now it's, you know, middle of August. So what happened was, when I came in to the studio this morning.
Yes.
Courtney Kandera says, look in the box, the missing box over there, and there's a letter there for you. He said, we were moving, and for some reason, this letter from March till right now has been floating around in the building, in the old building. And they found it.
Well, was it a problem with the mail or a problem with the
I don't know.
Left? Anyway, you found this letter.
Sure,
so what's
but
the deal?
It was mailed to Sunland, the old studio.
Okay.
And for some reason or another, it didn't get to me. Until today.
Wow.
So today I have this letter mailed in March from Robin Sherman about my letter, which I mailed a year ago.
Correct.
and giving me an update on the family and giving me an update on my letter. And
what'd they say?
Well, it's involved, you know. But she just said that
Did they ever read your letter? Or
yeah, they read it. Yeah. And matter of fact, they had a family get together last September, a picnic, as it were, in Westchester. Which was not too far from Fairfield University, where I had my rookie training camp there.
Okay.
And in this family get together, they read part of my letter. You know, to the group. So
do you remember what you wrote?
Not really. I couldn't explain it to you. But it was about my first meeting with Allie.
This was your first coach.
This is when I came to the Giants and I met with him and I talked to him and then how he treated me and how he went out of his way to ask if I needed anything. Was I getting along okay? And,
right.
You know, San Diego boy in a big city, that type of thing. And so it was one of the warmest experiences I've had, you know, along this life's path, as they say, you know. And so in the letter, in this card, in these four cards, there's information, emails on the family, on the Robin and on Randy. So I'm going to contact these folks and just rekindle it.
All right, that sounds good.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's one of the great things that you come across in life is how people connect, you know.
Let's talk Olympics here now a little bit, and I'm glad that you are able to connect up with the family because they would appreciate that as well. This is the sports show. I'm Michael Horn along with the one and only Fred Dreyer. He two safeties in one game, the all-pro defensive end. Started his career, obviously, as we're talking about here, with the New York Giants. Came to the Rams after almost becoming a New England Patriot, but that didn't happen. And the great career, and then, of course, the acting career with Hunter and Agent X and all the good things, Crisis that you had last year, all the good stuff over there. But now we're in the Olympics. And apparently there was some kind of altercation here with the was this the Australian coach or something that happened? There was a rowing coach. What happened? What's the latest that you have from the Olympics?
He was robbed at knife point.
So this is in Rio. This is in Rio.
Not that it couldn't happen anywhere else around the world, but it's just another log on the fire of how predictably I think that it's difficult to to take these games and travel them around to third world countries like this.
This is they had the Olympics games kicked off. They had the rousing opening ceremony in the first week here. We're getting into the second, and the two Australian rowing coaches apparently were robbed at knife point by a pair of Brazilian people, teenagers, talking back. They were walking back to their hotel on Friday night, and the coaches were returning to their rooms. And then, according to the media reports, Greg Nance, the Australian Olympic team's deputy director of welfare, said of the incident they were yelling, intimidating, and with the use of their voice, and of course the knife, about an inch, eight inch knife blade, that scared the pants off everyone. So coaches were unharmed, but they were robbed. So that is something. And Gail Morgan has sent along to us some sort of type of large rodents that are being seen on the Olympic golf courts.
Yeah, that's a combination rat hedgehog.
It is is that big?
Yeah,
it's a rat. Well, and a hedgehog.
It's an amphibian, so it can swim and it can run and it can chase you.
And it's been raining there on and off a little bit. Did you see the swimming pool? One of the pools turned green. It apparently went out of balance. That's happened to me in the past, but instead of blue, it turned green.
What do you think that is?
It's just off. They just get it out of balance.
It's algae.
It's algae, and they say it's perfectly okay to swim, but I don't know if I'd want to swim. I don't go in my pool until I get the algae.
They'll tell you anything when you get out.
Yes, they will. So really something. It's
like a crazy date. You just tell them anything. Here, drink this, and you'll be all right.
A lot happening at the Olympics. Have you been watching it? Do you like the coverage?
No, not at all. Actually, but here's what I did do.
Yeah.
I did watch Gabby Douglas do the floor exercises for the women's gymnastic medal.
Okay.
And they were terrific. They wiped everybody out. They beat Russia by 50 points. And so I'm excited that these young girls – who work so hard, everybody does, but they work so hard, they're so cute, and so they were very preppy, and they were so tight as a unit, and and they just willed the gold medal.
They won it.
They won it.
Yeah.
They just hammered
it. Get
everybody.
Into that mode. You got to get into that mental.
Well, like, look, you it's prepared. 4 years. It's 4 years.
4 years of preparing.
And then they read about, all the water and all the sewage. And they read about the guy with the knife in the elevator. They read about all of this stuff. And they have to focus and push past all this stuff. And here it is, after 4 years, and you get the pick of the litter, which is Rio de Janeiro and Ipanema Beach, and Sewer City. And now you're stuck with dorms that don't work, and you're stuck with all the things that you take for granted here in the States, certainly around the rest of the world and in the Western civilization. And you have to push through that. It's very difficult to keep your focus and do that.
Yeah, it is. And let me ask you, you played, of course, football, and you had a game every week, and you'd prepare for the week, and then it's game day, and you're ready to go. So you focus, you come into it. What would that be like for you, being in the Olympics, where you wait 4 years to prepare, then you got your one shot at everything? How about that swimmer that thought it was a false start, jumped in, and then it found out that another swimmer kind of budged, so they came back out, and he didn't win anything, and it probably threw his concentration off, right? I mean, you're so focused on getting ready to go.
Of course. Of course, it's you know what they say, the heartbreak, competition nothing's guaranteed. You could be ready, you could be ready to go, and the dumbest thing could happen. You could slip, you could fall, you could hurt yourself, you could roll your ankle just by warming up, and the whole thing could be out the window. Was it a sprinter? 8 years ago that overslept?
Oh, I remember that.
Remember that?
Yeah, some guy overslept.
No, he was an American guy, and he for 4 years, and he goes there, and his alarm clock doesn't go off. And he asked somebody to help, wake me up, 2 hours before, and they didn't, and he overslept.
Well, he has asked the Russian to go ahead and wake him up, and they didn't want to help him out on that team. Yeah. Now, let's talk a little football, because it's a big year because the Rams have moved from St. Louis back to Los Angeles, and apparently the coach has made a couple of cuts, or a cut anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear about this?
I read about this guy. Let me just...
His name is Dion Long,
yes.
And the coach, Jeff Fisher, cut him from the team because apparently there was some shenanigans going on in the dorm.
He qualifies for a Puig scholarship.
Yasiel Puig, who's in the minors now. We'll get to him later.
Yeah, but
our Puig
but
update we have every
this
week.
Guy's an idiot too, because what he did is he brought a girl, into his dorm room, and to quote, Jeff Fisher, the Rams head coach, what part of no female guests in the room did you not understand? Fisher asked Long in their meeting, which was shown on television, the television show, Hard Knocks.
Oh, that's HBO is doing that whole thing with Hard Knocks.
It's unfolded on TV.
Yeah, this is a big deal. And so it gets cut because
Dion Long, who isn't around long, says that his visitor was there before curfew. This thinks how his brain works. She was there before curfew, and he didn't intend to have her stay. But after hearing Long's explanation, Fisher tells him he's being released. Sorry, this is our team, man.
Well, that tells me that's a good coach. You don't put up with that shenanigans like that. If you have a rule, no visitors in the dorm, especially women, and then somebody breaks and violates that rule, they're cut from the team.
Oh, plus he's not very good.
Is that true?
Yes.
Does that have a lot to do with it?
Yeah, it has a lot to do with it.
So if you're not too good, you shouldn't give the coach any kind of leeway to go ahead and make a cut then. Is that right?
Yeah, Long, 25, spent time with the Tennessee Titans and the Miami Dolphins last season, but never played. Yeah. Long played for four different college programs. He's moving around a little bit. He must have had a lot of girls in all the dorms. Finishing up with 2 years at Maryland. He was undrafted last year. So, you when an idiot like that is right there you know, it's low hanging fruit.
You like
gotta,
you say,
you got to get rid of them.
Long is talking fast, saying the visitor was there before a curfew. We didn't intend to ever stay. And then Fisher hears and says, "Sorry." Fisher says, "This is our world. We have rules, and we have to abide by them. This is the first time I've done this for this particular violation. But I thought I made myself really clear. I'm not bleeping going 7-9 or 8-8 or 9-7. We have too much talent here for that. We had some 7-9 BS this morning, and we can't have that. Dion is gone. That's 7-9 BS, and we don't need it." So apparently the Eagles signed Long on after that. Anyway, spent time with the Tennessee Titans, Miami Dolphins.
Why would you sign him?
I don't know.
Why? I've always wondered that. I've always wondered why. Well, we got a huge job. You know, he ran a 4.8, so we have to get him over here. But guys like that, you don't. You know, the whole thing is about, you know, what's the root of your team? It's character.
That's true.
And if you don't have it, or if you got people there who represent, you know, who are slapping you in the face with their behavior, like Puig does. I know we're hopping around on Puig, but he's the poster child right now.
Yasiel Puig from the Dodgers.
You know, I told you.
Big phenom, for those that don't know, the Cuban guy they signed. He had a good
first year.
They know
who he is.
Mediocre couple of years, and now he was released a little over a week ago.
Because he has a bad brain. He has a bad brain. I said he had a bad brain the moment he showed up.
You did say that.
The night he threw the Padre out on a fly ball to right field, the guy didn't get back to first base in time, and he threw behind the runner and got him out. From that moment on, I said that there's something wrong with that guy.
Well,
not based on that play, but on just the fact that he came in so blistering hot, and when they started asking him, "Hey, could you throw the ball instead of throwing it to third base all the time? Could you throw it to the cutoff guy?" And he couldn't do it.
He couldn't do that for 3 years.
No, well, Mattingly kept asking him, "Is there something we can do to help you?" And it was
and
always,
they finally found it. They put him in the minors.
Yeah, and then they go to Miami, you know, his hometown, where all his friends are. He goes down there, and he shows up an hour late for the game. You know, and so he puts him on the bench, and then he says, "Okay, the game's on the line. Yasiel, you can bat now." And he hits a home run, I think, to win the game. You know, so he was touched, as they say, for a while, and then he just completely wore out his welcome with stupidity.
A lot of the players were upset with Yasiel Puig because he would toss his bat after he got his hit like he was, you know, some kind of Babe Ruth style. Even Babe didn't even do that, but he had the kind of attitude about him. And I think the pitchers learned how to throw outside and suckerman to swing at those pitches. So the story is this week he goes down to, is it Oklahoma? I think he's playing for the Dodgers.
Well, he's Oklahoma Dodgers, but they're playing in Iowa.
They're playing in Iowa, and he plays his first game, and they lose it 3-2 or something. And he goes out with the teammates, some other teammates, and they take a video, put it up on Snapchat, and it's up there, and it says, "Bleep the Dodger president, bleep the Dodger president." And these guys are all singing it, and what do they think? The Dodger president's going to see it, and it's one thing for Yasiel Puig to do it, but if you're a moron on the team and you participate,
you go along with
it.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, you just get the pencil, and you write down the names that were to participated, and then you write them a letter saying, "See ya."
That's the deal. He wants to come back. He says, "I learned my lesson. I have to come back and show better spirit."
Right.
And then the next day, the first game he's there, he becomes an idiot again. How do you turn? You must have seen a lot of guys like that in your career on football. When you get a bad seat on the club, that can destroy a team, can't it?
Oh, believe me.
Seriously, right?
No, you don't need anybody. You don't look. There's distractions all the time. Stuff happens all the time, and that's just, it's organic to nature. That's just the way it happens. But when somebody is engineering and manufacturing unrest and fomenting discord for the sake of his own ego, you got to kill it.
Yeah.
You just got to throw it off the bus. And you got to jump on them and pound the crap out of them and tell them to get the hell out, or go to the owner and just tell the owner, you know, if you don't do something about this, Then every
have
day,
you done that
then
before?
Every day I'm going to.
When you were playing football, did you go?
I
and
saw
if there was
a lot
some,
of.
There was
I saw
a lot of bad seeds. Did you go to the owner? Did you talk to
yeah,
the person
that's right.
individual?
Yeah,
what
yeah,
did
yeah,
you do?
Yeah, yeah. Well, both.
Everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Would
it,
you sometimes
but,
take
but,
other
but,
players and
well,
go in?
But there's ways of doing it. You do it through leadership of the team.
How, what do you mean?
Well, you know, we had a lot of veteran players, and Merlin was one of them, and Tom Mack was one. You know, we had a lot of players that were that were respected, and so when they went to ownership or they went to the player, then that had the impact, and it usually was remedied.
You pull somebody along the side. You got Merlin Olsen or Fred Dreyer talking to you.
But
you wake up a little
bit.
But
you know, it's a family. So if you've got 30 people agreeing that you're a jerk,
right,
and confront you with it and kid you about it and make fun of you about it and drive on you about it and never let you up about it, then you kind of get the idea. You got to either shut up or start fighting a lot of guys.
That's it. So anyway, so that's the latest on Yasiel Puig and the
Dodgers. Let me just clarify something.
Sure.
That doesn't – the great thing about team sports, and certainly today with – there's so much money that people are not – other than Puig. There's very few Puigs in sports. Do you know what I mean?
In other words, for the most part, there's people that are dedicated and want to play the game.
Yeah, they show up. They might be jerks. You might not like them, but at the same time, you're
they're there to do a job.
But they do their job and they play and they contribute. You know.
Yeah. So that's good to know. So it's like not common. But when you have somebody that's so talented, that the arm strength and the accuracy of Yasiel Puig, and he can hit for power and he can run and all this, and then he just destroys it, that's just a terrible thing.
Isn't it? I went to the Dodger game last night.
Yeah.
And the topic was...
Thanks for inviting me. I didn't see my invitation.
The last time I took you,
I know
it was just.
Was there a problem?
They're still talking.
I mean, they are. What did I do?
The organization is still in shock.
They were upset with me. I didn't behave myself.
Well, you know, I mean, your hands.
Well, they ran out of silverware. What can I tell you? It's a hot dog, for God's sake. How do you eat a hot dog?
By the seventh inning, you were laying in the aisle on your back drinking a beer. I mean, what happened?
I promise you, like Yasiel Puig, I will clean up my act if indeed I can go again. And I hope we get a driver that can take us on back roads, because I love to go back roads.
The 3 9-year-old staring at you, I think, was the coup de grace.
All right. Okay. So maybe there are a couple of...
There's a couple of things.
Anyway, you were saying...
Just clean those things up and you'll be good to go. You'll be good to go pretty soon.
You went to the Dodger game the other night, and what'd you see?
What do I mean?
You said you went to the game the other night.
I did?
You were going to make some... Yes.
Yes. Of course I did.
Yeah. Now the cat's out of the bag.
And the funny thing was, on the ticket, printed on the ticket was Yasiel Puig's picture.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they were like promoting him. He was like the big superstar. You know,
but he left before they could pull all the advertising. Yeah. But anyway, it was the subtext of the evening, and of course the posting on social media of him, calling the Farhan Zaidi a jerk. And celebrating that way, it was just unbelievable. You know, what are you going to do about stuff like that?
All right, so that should go. And so tell me a little bit about Tim Tebow. What do you think about Tim?
Tim Tebow. Well, for the most part, you know, I look at this guy and I root for him. I think most people do. He's worked very hard in his life to get where he is. I think he's limited in some ways in terms of his recognition of reading defenses. I think there's a little bit of a deficit there, because he's gotten plenty of opportunity to show that he could play.
Well, in football, but now he wants to maybe.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
You want to go to baseball now?
No, I'm just talking about Tim Tebow. Yeah.
No. Well, I know, but I mean, here's a guy who's aimed his entire life at being a football guy,
right?
And then he got into pro football and didn't make it,
right?
And so now he's looking for something else to do, and so now he's going to try to be a baseball player.
Yeah. So what do you think? You think?
I don't know what to think. I mean, he wasn't a very good football player. professionally. So what makes you think he'll be a good professional baseball player?
Don't know.
I mean, it's okay for him to go out and try it, but it seems like he's working out his desperation in front of everybody. It doesn't to me enough. You know, go become a coach or go get into Christian work, because he's very Christian.
Yeah,
and that's fine. Get into Christian work. Be a mentor. But do things that are that you think are life affirming. Trying to work out and trying to catch on with a professional sports team, a baseball team at this point in time,
exactly,
is glaringly what it is.
Yes.
So that's what I think.
All right. So anyway, he's on ESPN. He's was a quarterback in the NFL. He was a broadcaster on ESPN. Now, trying to get a career in baseball, he claims that there's maybe some kind of a pro team that he may be able to get signed or do something with. So just wondering what's going on. He was an All-State baseball player when he was in Florida in 2005. He hit .494 as a junior. He helped his high school reach the Final Four in the state playoffs. He's got good athletic ability and stuff. Anyway, he has passion, desire, and so a lot of people are thinking that he might surprise everybody by what he can accomplish.
Well, here's a quote.
Yes.
Okay, here's a quote. A Major League scouting director told ESPN Jason Stark on Tuesday, quote, 11 years of not playing baseball. Nobody can overcome that. So, you haven't played baseball for 11 years.
Right.
What's the deal? So he's going to try and do it. He's going to try and do it. And if he does it, wonderful. I don't think he will. I think the odds were in his favor that he would get a shot at playing pro football and being a quarterback in pro football.
Gotcha.
And he did for a little while. Won a playoff game against Pittsburgh up there in Denver. And then now he's out. There's nothing... There's no reason to hire him as a baseball player. What's he gonna do? This guy's got a hell of an arm. He's a big guy. He's a hell of an arm. He can throw. But what does that mean? Can you hit a baseball? Can you hit a baseball?
Well, he hits .494 as a junior. I mean, I know that's not
11 years of not playing baseball.
11 years of not playing
baseball.
Nobody
can overcome that. Quote. That's from a Major League scouting director.
Now, what people don't know is he had a tryout with the Los Angeles Dodgers before the season, and a scout was present for the workout. The team showed a little bit of interest in Tebow.
They were being polite.
You think?
Yes. Where is he?
Well, I don't know. They said Tebow's agent said that he had a good swing. It goes without saying he's shown a high level of discipline.
Have a good swing.
Well, he says, I truly believe Tim has the skill set and potential to achieve his goal of playing in the major leagues. And based on what I've seen
God
over the past
him.
2 months, it could happen relatively quickly.
I doubt it.
Okay.
I'm not throwing mud. You know, I'm not spiking the punch. I'm just telling you the facts, the reality. Enough already. Get on with it. Go do something else.
All right. Now, this is the final season since we're on baseball. One other last topic here. Vin Scully, apparently, I hope he stays well, because he is glad-handed, shaking hands with everybody. And Big Poppy went up to see him in the broadcast.
He did.
From the Red Sox, David Ortiz went up there. And David Ortiz,
love Big
apparently
Poppy.
A
love
big
Poppy.
Yeah, me too. Really nice guy. And he made a nice tribute to Vinny. And said that he listened to him. Everybody always talks about this, their lifestyle. I don't think Vin realizes how much he is a part of everybody's life. It's like, you know,
he does. Yeah, he does.
You think he does?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well,
yeah,
I don't know. He's the guy that gives the voice out. We're the guys that listen to him, and we're with our families.
But he's humble, but that doesn't mean he can't see what his value is. Certainly he can.
Yeah, well.
He knows.
I mean, that is the part that it will not be created by this guy, Vin Scully, because he has become, there's always, when you're in radio, okay, you do a radio show or something, back in the good old days of radio, you went to Boston or Atlanta or Chicago or New York or Los Angeles, and there was a guy who was the morning guy for the show, Robert W. Morgan in L.A., or way beyond that, Dick Whittinghill or Loman and Barkley. There was always somebody that was synonymous with the local town that you grew up in. And nowadays, that doesn't matter, because there's like one guy that's on 18,000 radio stations. But back in the day, there was a guy that was there. And in Los Angeles, it's Vin Scully. But he's gone beyond that, because not only has he been like a local guy on the radio, he's done enough national stuff that he's made himself well-known. And people just respect the fact that he is the voice maybe not only of Los Angeles, but of baseball, even though you didn't hear him in your town.
Yeah, well, when he goes...
The end of this season.
Then you're going to see the other side of the void. In other words, you'll see the gaping hole once he's gone.
Yes.
Because normally as people move through their careers and stuff, the void fills in pretty quickly. This will not, especially here. I mean, what are we left with? Charlie Steiner and Rick Monday and who else? You know,
Charlie Steiner, Rick Monday.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, who's pretty good? I like Oral Hershiser.
I do like Oral Hershiser. I think he's doing
and
a
I
good
like
job.
Nomar Garciaparra too.
Yeah, I like Nomar, and I think they've made a great decision on putting those guys. They're former players that actually can be broadcasters are great. Like Don Drysdale was one of the all-time greats.
He was very good. He was
Big
good.
D.
He was very good.
All right, we got to take a little break here. More on the sports show. I'm Michael Horn. That is Fred Dreyer, Nationwide Coast to Coast CRN Sports Byline Radio. Take a break. Be right back.
What's going on over here?
Any Napa guy knows, and science proves, the best minivan is the one you've already got. Part kid transporter, part drywall mover. Who cares if the faux wood grain is a little faded? That was a platinum package option in 1987. With over 400,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. Because it's not old, it's vintage. That's Napa know-how.
Experience your home away from home, being beachfront at the Kaanapali Beach Hotel. Begin your getaway, relaxing on over 11 acres of tropical Hawaiian gardens at Hawaii's most Hawaiian hotel. Voted Best Aloha Spirit by Hawaii Magazine readers. Just walking around the grounds with all the tropical vegetation, relaxing poolside, or kicking back in the sun on the world-renowned Kaanapali Beach makes you feel like you're home in paradise. There's a package to fit all your needs. Wedding, honeymoon, activities, private parties, great food, or just good old beach fun. The hotel perpetuates the Hawaiian tradition at its best. Call 661-0011 or visit kbhmaui.com.
The Kaanapali Beach Hotel, Maui's Hawaiian Hotel.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
The Doug Steffen Good Day Program, early morning radio, and I guess it is radio, although it's radio on TV because this is CRN Digital Talk. You can find out what's going on in the world. We talk about the issues of the day, the events of the day, the people that people are talking about. We have an interesting way of looking at the news and having a little fun with the issues. So if you want to have some fun, learn a few things, and get up on the right side of the world, Doug Steffen's Good Day Program, weekday mornings, 2 to 7 a.m. on CRN Digital Talk.
Welcome back into the sports show. I'm Michael Horn, along with the star of our program, the all-pro defensive end, the Sultan of Safeties, the one and only Mr. Fred Dreyer, who's looking through that mailbag to see if there's more mail that you missed there.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this letter from the Sherman family just really made my day. I got to tell you, really did. And I'm going to look forward to getting in touch with them in the coming days, and we'll push it forward. And when we do, I will let you people know how it went.
Prince Fielder, you know, we got some people retiring now. We got A-Rod is done, but he's not done totally. Is he going to the front office or something?
A-Rod had a 10-year, $275 million contract that expires through at the end of the 17th season, which is another year. So the Yankees want him out. They just want to get rid of this guy, believe me. And so,
well, he played well at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, but he's 50 now, and no one wants to see him.
And, he isn't.
He's 22-year baseball career. He had a brilliant Hall of Fame career. If he gets in, he gets in. But he's not getting in. Too many people are upset with him. He's a liar and all these other things. However, he's a great ball player. See, here's how I am. I think that he should be put into the Hall of Fame, and there should be an asterisk next to his name explaining everything that happened to the guy.
You want him in the Hall of Fame?
He should
with
be
an asterisk
because of what he contributed. You know, when you start weeding out Pete Rose and all these people who had such an overwhelming impact on the game,
True. You
begin to cheat the game. You know, you're not going to all of a sudden erase from people's memories the fact that these guys existed and lived and did what they did.
Right.
You've got to say, here's what they did. This was an era that was looked upon this way, and they're a part of history. Here's what they did, and here's what we didn't like what they did. And that's it. They're saying now, well, you don't know if A-Rod was on dope his entire career and got 696 home runs, four short of 700, and we don't know how many of those are attributed to. So what? This is what he did, and this is what we can prove. This is what we know to be true. On both sides of the ledger.
So you would put A-Rod in the Hall of Fame?
I think the sport is healthier when it acknowledges these types of weaknesses. You know, I mean, the fact is, this guy won a World Series. He had an impact on the game. So you have to acknowledge that. You're just going to put an asterisk. Oh, there was a guy called A-Rod. We can't talk about him. And there's another guy called Pete Rose. We can't talk about him. We got to ignore everything he did. And when it comes to hitting baseballs, those two guys, and along with Barry Bonds, you can't talk about. You can't talk about any of these guys. You can't. Rafael Palmeiro. Can't talk about all of these guys who had an impact on the game. And there's like 30 of them, 20 of them, that you're going to have to ask the people to just please pretend you didn't know they were born.
You're talking about the steroid guys.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, let's get on with it. You know, they took steroids. Roger Clemens, they took steroids, and this is where you are. You know,
look at maybe that should be the steroid.
Mark
wing.
McGuire,
yeah.
Here's another guy. Mark McGuire is able to make a living in Major League Baseball. However, they don't want him to get into the Hall of Fame. And all these old time guys are saying, "Yeah, you know, this is an embarrassment. They should never be, and they're dirty players." And all of this is because the Major League Baseball, and I can go into this as long as you want to go into it, and
right.
Not today, but at some point in time. Major League Baseball knew Sosa and all of these guys were on dope.
Of course.
They knew everything about it. They turned their backs the other way.
Because they wanted
and
the long
I, and
ball.
I told you this conversation I had with a friend of mine who was in a position to know some of these things. And he said, the ownership, when this thing started to crack open,
right.
This entire scandal, how deep it went, you know, Balco and all these guys up in San Francisco, all the players who were studying, all the guys who were trying out and working out and in the off season and taking drugs and trying to engineer a better way of playing baseball through drugs and through these combinations of steroids. All of these people, you know, are beginning to surface. So Major League Baseball said to the press, "Hey, look, we're going to give you access to these players. We're going to give you access to Barry Bonds. We're going to give you, and you can go at them. You can ask them any and all, everything you want to ask him, but leave us out.
So and, Major League Baseball and, didn't want to be part of it.
Through all of this, if you recall, it's historical of what has been omitted. Major League Baseball was never called onto the carpet. Major League Baseball was never the press never went at Major League Baseball and said, where were you? Where were the parents of these players through this period of time that are now affecting the Hall of Fame, that are now affecting Major League Baseball and the sport forever? Where was ownership during all this? I'll tell you where they were. They're making a lot of money off of the Socium McGuire home run contest.
Yeah, that's right.
And so there was a lot of stuff that went on that way. Roger Clemens and all that stuff. Everybody seemed to say, gee, Roger's doing a lot better this year. He was over 4 years ago, and suddenly, this last offseason, he really worked out, put on a couple pounds, and now he's throwing 130 miles an hour. And nobody said, hey, just a second.
How does that happen?
Why didn't the general manager, why didn't the head coach, why didn't the ownership, why didn't George Steinbrenner say, just a minute? You know, you're on dope. Look at you. You know, I mean, it's the same conversation that we've had year in and year out. And here it is. Yes. Pete Rose now is out in somewhere, Laughlin, you know, signing baseball helmets. And he can't get into the Hall of Fame for having, you know, 4,100 hits.
His wasn't steroids. He was
no,
gaming.
No,
but
he was gambling. No, here's the other thing. Here's what's hilarious to me.
This is basketball news now, right?
David Stern.
From
David Stern,
yeah, NBA.
Will give a speech in support of legalizing gambling.
Oh, boy. This is the former NBA commissioner is discussing his support for legalizing sports betting. It's going to be a gaming conference in Las Vegas in September. He'll be the featured speaker at the Global Gaming Expo on September 29th at the Sands Expo and Convention Center. He's going to discuss the future of sports betting and its impact on major professional sports.
Yeah, that's right.
With the CEO of the American Gaming Association, Jeff Freeman. This should be a great event. This is going to be.
Yeah.
I wonder if Pete Rose will be there. He's in Vegas sometimes, just signs autographs there.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is really. But here's the thing. They have these sports betting lines. They finally threw them off, but they were all over the NFL and all these games. You'd have the sports betting lines where you could go and place some bets down on it, and now all of a sudden, now you can't bet on them or they can't advertise them or something. It's crazy. It's like, come on, what's the difference?
Now, here's the other side of this conversation.
Okay.
Do we have enough time here?
Yes, Gore, I think
okay,
you do.
Okay, here's the
I
deal.
Don't know. I think you do. Yes,
well,
you do.
Well, we do. That yes. clock work?
Yes, my.
Well,
yes,
usually,
it does.
You have a stopwatch.
I got it. Go
it's
ahead.
It's a Seiko, isn't it?
Yes.
You can go underwater with that, can't
I know you can, except if it's a green pool.
If you were in Rio, you could go swimming with
except
that.
Except in the green pool.
So here's the deal. So as much as I, as true as I believe what I've just said is valid,
we're talking about sports betting. Yeah, you had a thought about sports betting, and you're giving me the other side of this whole thing, that David Stern is going to come and speak at this convention.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the steroid thing.
I just want to hit the steroid thing. Okay, steroid one more time.
The steroid thing.
Yes.
And that is, I also believe that a player or collective player or the collective bargaining agreement and Players Association should approach ownership and say to them, there should be a reason and for players to take so-called enhancing
drugs or whatever,
performance-enhancing drugs.
Yes,
and it's based on the fact that you've got a guy like Mike Trout who's 24, 25 years of age, 23, 24.
Great
years
player
of age.
With the Angels.
Yeah. Well, he's on the upswing. And you're paying what's his face?
Albert Pujols,
a whole hell of a lot of money, and he's on the downside.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, everybody in life, it shouldn't be any different in sports, everybody in life wants to extend their youth as much as possible.
Of course they do, yes.
They want to have an anti-aging diet.
Yeah, of course.
They want to have an anti-aging workout program, and they want to be able to go to work every single day and not be harassed and think they're cheating. You know, the truth of the matter is, if I'm an owner and I'm paying Mike Trout a hell of a lot of money, and it gets to the point where he's now on his hormone levels, his testosterone, his HGH levels, adrenal levels, all of these things, they start to go down.
Diminish, yes.
I think You test him and you bring him back up to where he was. You don't exploit the drugs. You don't exploit the use of steroids. You supplement and you bring this guy. You know your hormone levels when you're 23 is different than when you're 63. So right. why can't you when you're 33, 34, 37?
So you are for in favor of supplements.
Why can't you supplement yourself to bring yourself back to levels when you're 25? Not that you're it has nothing to do with cheating. It has to do with extending your natural gifts to begin with. You can't tell me you can take, you know, a guy off the street over here, give him a bunch of steroids, and he can hit 700 home runs.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
But you've got this gift that you've given this kid, Mike Trout, and when you see him start to diminish, he should be allowed to take a blood test to see where he is and match his blood test when he was a younger man.
Very interesting. Yeah, well, that's an interesting look on this.
Why not?
It's medical stuff. You're right. I'm following you here on this thing. Well, it becomes then just health, medical, medicine for someone.
Suddenly, the press, here's the deal.
The press will get a hold of it.
Well, the press has branded any type of extracurricular working out as cheating.
Okay.
They've done that.
Yes, they have.
You know, I took steroids when I was a kid, you know. I did it.
So you did it when you were a kid?
Yeah, I did it when I was about 18, 19, 20 years old.
Because?
Because I wanted, first of all, it existed. I had a knee injury.
And did it work for you?
Yes.
Okay.
It helped me. It didn't make me run a 9 flat 100. But what it did is it allowed me to recoup better. It allowed me to build muscle mass when I.
But this is when nobody said this stuff was good, bad, or indifferent. It was just there, right?
Yeah, it was just there. Yeah,
I did radio shows where they used to talk about all these special additives you could give yourself on the diets and all this kind of stuff to kind of bring your blood levels back to the original size.
Well, what do you think, Suzanne Summers?
Human growth hormones.
Suzanne Summers is doing it. You know, yeah. She said,
they used
look,
to have the HGH on radio.
Yeah, well, why be an old handbag at 65 when you can go back to your hormone levels of 35? And what's wrong with that? Is that cheating?
It's
not cheating. It's stupid. I mean, why don't we all just put all these athletes? Why do we have training table? Why do we have how about getting 8 hours of sleep instead of 2 hours of sleep?
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
this, should I be getting eight?
Well, you look like you could use another eight.
I could use about six more.
You look like you could use
a little bit more. I don't know where we are here.
There's the music. What happened?
Well, we're taking a little break here coming up. We're going to come back in a final quick segment to wrap things
That's
up
it?
For you. Yeah, we should mention that not only A-Rod retiring, Prince Fielder, after his major surgeries, says he can't play baseball anymore, and he's going to retire. He's going to hang it up with Texas.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so... And how about this?
You might need some steroids.
I want to talk a little about your choices so far for managers of the year when we come back. And it's going to be kind of amazing in my picks, and they might match yours. And by the way, good get well news to Bruce Bochy. He's back managing the Giants. He had like a stents in his heart back in 2015, and he had an undisclosed illness earlier this week. He's a competitor, and I hate to see him in the hospital one day.
Yeah,
he missed the game.
He's got to drink more water.
Drink water, right?
Drink
lots of water, as we all do. We'll take a sip of water and be right back.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Let me take just a moment or two, if I may, and talk about a great place to eat. That's right, for you folks anywhere in the eastern San Fernando Valley, drop in to Bob's Big Boys. That's right, in Sun Valley at 8274 Sunland Boulevard. Now, everybody remembers the name Bob's. They're getting bigger and bigger every day. And little old Bob carrying the hamburger in his checkered overalls is the same Bob that you remember from back through the years. And, of course, if you want to go in for a great lunch, remember their classic burger, the original double-deck hamburger combination. Delicious 100% pure ground beef in two patties with American cheese, lettuce, and our famous Big Boy special sauce. The name is Bob, and I think when you go in, you'll say, by golly, I'm sure glad that I found this restaurant because it's good for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. They've got all kinds of things, and all you have to do is remember. Bob's Big Boy in Sun Valley at 8274 Sunland Boulevard. It's a great place to eat.
Kanapali Beach Hotel, Maui's Hawaiian Hotel.
From traditional Hawaiian weddings and vow renewals to your own unique ceremony, find out why Kaanapali Weddings is the perfect place to say, I do. Create the memory that will last a lifetime at the place you and your family know and love, Kaanapali Beach Hotel. Imagine yourself and your loved one just steps away from world-famous Kaanapali Beach in one of many wedding venues to choose from, including oceanside lawns, tropical gardens, or indoor banquet rooms. With your choice of catering, bar, floral, and musical options, you can make your special day customized just for you. Their wedding specialists will help you plan your dream wedding today. For more information, visit KaanapaliWeddings.com or call 661-0011. Kaanapali Weddings, the perfect place to say, I do.
Kaanapali Beach Hotel, Maui's Hawaiian Hotel.
Welcome back to the Sports Show. I'm Michael Horn, along with the star of the program, the Sultan of Safeties, the All-Pro defensive end, one and only Mr. Fred Dreyer.
Still very much.
Close to that microphone.
So yeah, I know. I'm getting my wires.
Get your wires squared away if you can, Melvin. Thank you.
I don't like this thing blasting anymore.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
But the good news is Neighbor Paul's here.
Neighbor Paul is here. Hi, Neighbor Paul.
Glad to be with you two gentlemen.
He sounds better than us to combine. That's a better microphone he's on there.
Yeah, it's a good one.
He's got the best one, Neighbor Paul.
Well, I'm still trying to get over kind of the ecstasy of visiting the ballpark. Chavez Ravine, the home of the Los Angeles Dodgers, I took it an afternoon, a Saturday afternoon game, a 1 p.m. start. Boy, it was
great. So you went to the game this last week. Fred went to the game.
When did you go?
You guys just talk amongst yourselves.
Saturday game.
We'll fix this.
The Dodgers and the Red Sox. And second level seats right behind home plate.
What did you pay for those tickets?
They were complimentary. Ooh. So I don't know what the price
was. What did you pay for yours?
They were expensive.
Wait a second, expensive. Fred, what did you pay for yours?
$700.
They might have been complimentary, too. I bought the cheap seats out in the right field pavilion when they had beer night and had a good time out there.
What are you going to do? You went to the game. You liked it, right?
I thought
it was too hot in the daytime.
It was very warm. You got only up until about maybe the eighth inning to finally the shade.
And here's the beauty of it: you sit in right field bleachers, and the sun comes over that third base dugout, and it hits you right square in the face, and you are so hammered by the time you get on the 5 freeway. You're so drunk and burned out. It's unbelievable.
You build up a layer of sweat on your neck.
Paul Stern,
it just builds
the neighbor
up.
Of Fred Dreyer. They're just chatting about their time at the game. I will tell you that I think Dave Roberts and Don Mattingly should be candidates for manager of the year
That's the chat.
With the Dodgers and
that's
the Miami.
The inside
you
school.
Think that's a chat?
Yeah.
What do you think, neighbor Paul?
I think the business people, the executives at the Dodger organization for charging me $43 for just a single trip to the concession stand.
Neighbor Paul's going to continue complaining. That's our show. If you miss anything, log on to our website at crntalk.com. Follow Fred Dreyer on Twitter, Fred_Dreyer, facebook.com/TheRealFredDreyer. And of course, email him, Fred Dreyer, Dreyer, at crntalk.com. Final thoughts from Fred Dreyer?
We didn't get a chance to talk about the neighborhood, but we'll catch you next week on that one.
Okay, that'll be good.
Yeah.